the first question, and it as advertised, I'd just like to go around the group, and there'll be some of us who don't use LinkedIn much at all, if at all. But I'd like to hear from each of you how you use it, if you use it, and why do you use it in that way? Is that a fair question? And see if you can summarize that in, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, something like that, to give us an overview of how you use it in your business. Yeah, because that might then stimulate some good questions from others as we go around later on. Okay, cool. I will nominate who goes next, because I think that's easier way. We don't talk over each other. And Cosmin, just because you're next to me on the camera there on the video screen, I might go to you first, if that's okay. So, you know, how do you use LinkedIn, and why do you use it that way?
Actually, we have LinkedIn as Navigator since the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we use it mostly for market research and prospecting. And besides Sales Navigator, we also use some leads automation software in order to streamline the process.
Okay, so market research and prospecting. So,
yeah. Actually, we have 3 Sales Navigator accounts in our partnership department. So we are 4. So we have 3 accounts out of 4 people.
Perhaps you can explain that a little bit to me. What is that?
So I have a team. Mm-hmm. At this point, I have 3 other colleagues. Mm-hmm. And in our team, we have 4. We have 3 Sales Navigator accounts for prospecting purposes.
Sales Navigator accounts. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, and you've used it to find affiliates too, have you not?
This is the main purpose. This is Navigator. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like close to $800 per year. This is Navigator premium subscription.
Yes.
And this is our main tool for prospecting.
Okay. I'm sure there's some questions from others about that, but let's just keep going around for now. Okay. I've taken a couple of notes there, but I've got, you know, market research and prospecting, lead automation, the Sales Navigator software, you've got a subscription, yeah, and you use it primarily to find affiliates. So fair summary?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Terry, you're next across my list of people on my screen here, so I'm just going to go to you, if that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, I'll build off of what Cosmin said. Just for everybody's sake, if you're not more familiar with LinkedIn, you have different levels of subscriptions that you can actually pay for. LinkedIn is a free service, but you can also pay for stuff. Sales Navigator is one of those premium subscriptions that allows you to do some fairly sophisticated Boolean research. Boolean search, and you can find, you know, VPs at companies of 10,000 or more, and the VPs happen to have, you know, more than 5 years of experience at the company, and blah 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 blah. So we also have 2 subscriptions to Sales Navigator. We're not as far as Cosmin is in terms of our use of Sales Navigator, because I'm a little sensitive to the people that I have been trying to find and what to do with them. I've got about 3,200 contacts now who are exactly our profile. We do leadership development, and I have about 3,200 leadership development vice presidents of companies that are bigger than 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I don't know what to do with them. I'm afraid that if I contact them, I'm going to, you know, probably lose them. And if I don't contact them, then I'm not making sales. So I'm stuck. We have purchased a sales CRM system to support our work that we've done on LinkedIn. But we just have been getting up and running now. So I'm hoping that that will be our solution. But yeah, so LinkedIn for us has been primarily gathering of people, and now we're going to figure out what to do with them.
Okay, so those 3,200, are you connected to them? Like, are you first level
yes.
connections? You are, okay. And just not sure what the next step is.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. Then you might hear something from someone else this evening that might help you there.
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Terry. Sean, you're next in my little video queue, if you're up for it.
Sure. So the main use that we put LinkedIn to is when we run workshops overseas, public workshops, and we're trying to find participants to attend that. And so we essentially use the Sales Navigator capability to find people to invite to our workshops. The other thing is whenever we're meeting new people, we quickly check them out on LinkedIn to find out a little bit more about their backgrounds, just so that we can have a little bit more of a sensible conversation with them. So that'd be the two main uses.
Okay. And well, helping to find people to go to your workshops, that's very interesting. I suspect I might come back to that one when we're done our round here. Okay, thanks, Sean. Peter Frampton, you're next in my little lineup there.
Great. Well, thanks. Yeah, I come off mute. So I've used LinkedIn for a long time and also sort of for a long time thought, well, what do I do with all these contacts? So I've got about 3,000, 4,000 contacts. And I use it in a general way, just like Sean's described, for example, as an extension of my address book. So if I make a new contact, I'll just link with them so that I, you know, if I ever need to go back to them, I know that I didn't get their phone number. But I, as I said, it's an extension to my address book. But we have also then done some specific campaigns with LinkedIn. One in particular was with a group called Rebel. Have some of you, did we meet Rebel through some of you? I'm not sure. Mark brought Rebel to us, Mark Rebelliard, who's not on this call.
Yeah.
And what Rebel did for us was they grew our, using a paid like Sales Navigator type subscription, and actually they signed in as me, which is a bit of a sort of a hack, and LinkedIn makes that a little bit difficult. You've got to be careful with it because they say, hang on, you don't look like you're in Geneva. Where are you? Who are you? But anyway, they work around that. And they added a couple of thousand people to my LinkedIn database. They did it with quite a general search criteria, so which I think was a mistake. I think they should have been much more specific, like Terry was describing, should have gone for exactly people who are learning and development buyers. Nevertheless, we ran that for about 6 months. It cost us about $18,000, and nothing came of it for 2 years, except then something did. And it was a $200,000 contract. So it's like, wow, okay, well, it almost didn't work, but it did work. So, but to Terry's point of, I don't know what to do with them, they pushed me out of my comfort zone. And remember, it's my comfort zone in the sense that it's my name, my voice, they're writing as me. So I'm kind of trusting these people because I'm giving them my basically signature to write with. And they said, no, they had a real recipe that we're going to link with someone, and then we'll wait 2 weeks, and then we'll follow up, and then we'll ask for a call. And yeah, it's like, oh, that's so salesy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I got any calls out of it, but I did. People just did become aware of us, including this Westinghouse. Westinghouse was the big contract we won, including Westinghouse. So yeah, to Terry's point, it's like you've got to just push yourself out of that comfort zone and just gently reach out to them saying, hey, can we talk? Last point, because I know I'm going on here, is that so we wound up that contract a year or two ago with Rebel, that campaign. But I wanted to keep growing my database with a real laser focus, learning and development buyers. So I've actually had a young chap on retainer, you know, it's like an Upwork type contractor. It's actually a friend of a friend, and I've been paying him to just ping 10 people a week to link with me. And over the last 3-4 months, he's grown my LinkedIn database by about 100 learning and development buyers. And that's what I'm doing. But again, to Terry's point, it's like, oh, I've got to get on and use these contacts that I now have. Last point I'll say that we do is we've got two LinkedIn groups, one of which you call Color Accounting Partners, and the other one's Color Accounting Friends, and we post news to that. They're not that interactive. I'm thinking one day I'll use them more, but we're growing these two groups. They've each just got a couple of hundred people in them.
Awesome. Thanks, Pete. Whew, that's a lot of stuff coming up, isn't it? I know we all probably want to start asking questions soon, but I'm tempted to keep rolling. Rolf, you're next in my lineup. If you okay. use it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Our business is in executive coaching. And so the main thing that we try and do is connect with people that we've worked with, that we came across in workshops. And it's really, first and foremost, a tool to keep and manage relationships. And then it's an approach that we found quite useful is not to do an awful lot proactively, but just be very reactive to things that come, and then connect with people based on, well, I see someone's got so many connections that they share with me, so why don't we connect? So it's been fairly laid back. We use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. We haven't really made good use of it so far. It's really just a platform to be able or to enable others to vet us and see who else we know and what the connections are. And it's really to create a situation where they can find us and where they can build an impression of who we are. We haven't done any active selling and anything salesy we wouldn't do. Because that wouldn't be our philosophy, and it would probably not go down well with folks on LinkedIn. At least it doesn't go down well with me if people ping me and say, look, here's something I'd like to sell to you. Chances are I won't connect with the person.
Okay. Yeah.
So we wouldn't use it actively either.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rolf. Amos, you're next in my little lineup there. Do you guys use LinkedIn much, and how do you use it?
Yeah, I've actually been on LinkedIn since the first day, since 2004. So I've been there quite a while. I have nearly 6,000 contacts. And, I'm using LinkedIn in two ways. One is inbound, similar to Cosmin. I'm looking for a new partners for our network. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit like trying to eat soup with a spoon, but once in a while I managed to dig up a pea. And actually, since I met many of you 2 years ago in Amsterdam, we've added 15 countries to our network, and 10 of them, I think, are through my search on LinkedIn. So there are results, but it's a lot of work. I use Sales Navigator to narrow down as much as my searches as much as possible, but it's still going through hundreds of profiles of companies and then going to their websites to see that they fit and finding the right contact people. So it's a good starting point, but there's a limit to how accurate it gets, at least as far as what I'm looking. So that's the inbound. The outbound part is marketing. And here we do two things, and I've heard people here frowning upon actual sales on LinkedIn, and I agree with them. Like Rolf said, if someone tries to sell me something, I probably wouldn't connect with them. But I do think that LinkedIn can be effective in creating awareness, which is what marketing is about. So, and there's two ways to go around this. One is, and that's my preferred method, is advertising content, because people don't like when you sell them something, but they do like to read things that are of interest to them. Mm-hmm. So if you're uploading content, whether directly on your personal profile or on the company profile, if you have enough followers, or even more so in groups, I find groups to be a very powerful tool, then you get immediately see a spike in the website hits from people who saw the post and went to your website to read more. But that's one. The other way, which I'm not too convinced about because I just started with it, is paid marketing. And again, they have a few ways. They have a way of sending targeted emails, LinkedIn emails to people who are within a certain profile. You can advertise as a sidebar on the website, which I'm not too keen about, or it can appear as part of the content that they're looking at, the central bar on LinkedIn, which I think is the least disruptive. So in my eyes, the most appealing. But as I said, I just started, so I'm not too sure about how effective this is. And you asked Peter at the beginning, why do I use LinkedIn? And I think the best comparison is to Facebook. And in my view, Facebook is a leisure time social network. People go there with friends and family and people traveling around the world or kids. I think that people go to LinkedIn for professional reasons, and I prefer viewers to see our contents in the context of business. So that's why I think it's preferable to Facebook. You might get more hits on Facebook if you put something interesting, but it doesn't. People doesn't perceive it as business oriented, so it doesn't stick. But that's the personal view.
All right. Thank you very much, Amos. Thank you. Anthony Brophy, are you able to share with us?
Oh, you just unmuted me. Okay, yes. I've used LinkedIn to link in with other trainers, in particular for talent and career, and helping me to narrow down my searches. Creating awareness, I've done two things. One, I use the advertising feature to a paid advertising feature to promote a workshop I was doing. And the second one was actually writing articles to try to create interest. I did get a few responses from the articles that I wrote. The advertising for the workshop didn't seem to work for me. Interestingly, the workshop icon advertisement came up next to another icon that I clicked on and ended up being harangued by salespeople from America trying to sell me a place in an MBA or some kind of listing catalog. And I couldn't get them to go away. So I decided that the advertising feature of that was probably being misused by heavy duty salespeople and probably gave people a bad impression. So I stopped using that as a means of communicating. But I think writing articles is actually a good way of creating that that exposure for yourself. It does take time, and that's something that I haven't had much time to do, so I've only written one or two of those. I agree it's useful for having sensible conversations. I think Sean mentioned that, finding out people's background before you meet with them. And I find it very useful for keeping in touch with people. In Hong Kong, people change jobs very frequently, and I can find out where people go. So when they leave, I'm very interested to keep an eye out for where they are and then establish the link into their new company. I can do that by LinkedIn messaging, or I can just phone them up. I like to phone them up.
Hmm. Okay, thanks, Anthony. That's great. Hold on. Now, the next ones I have in line here are two phone-ins, and I think it's either Ian or Beck, or they're both on separate phones. Hard to say. So I'm going to unmute whoever that is. Is that Beck?
Hey, Pete. It's Ian.
G'day, Ian. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Morning, everybody. Beck is waving, saying hello. We're sorry for the noise. We're in a Starbucks. So she's muted. I'm unmuted. So
okay.
I guess we use LinkedIn a few different ways. We use it to engage with our existing clients. We research new clients and we find moved clients. So from an engaging perspective, we have four different groups that we have created. We created many years ago. We've got about 1,200 members of those groups, various groups for products and for us as an organization. And we push our content out to those groups, so blogs, training dates, those types of things. So we engage with our current clients with all of that. We're pretty unsophisticated in the way we research new clients. So we really just use LinkedIn for researching prospects, doing our due diligence on meetings that we're attending soon, that type of thing. And then for moved clients, this is really important to us. Moved clients are our biggest source of new revenue. So connecting with everybody we meet to begin with, in order for us to know when they move to a new organization, is probably our biggest, the biggest way that we use LinkedIn. So those are the three areas.
Cool. So the clients you've previously worked with, but they move to a new organization, they're some of your best business, are they, your best prospects?
Yeah, for sure. About 70-80% of our new business comes from those clients.
Great. Okay, that's a good tip. Thanks. And does Beck want to share separately, and should I unmute her, or are you speaking for the two of you for the moment?
For this subject, yes, I'm speaking for the two of us. I can't confirm that for every subject, though.
Oh, beautiful. And I didn't come to you, Ken. You were right at the start there, but I don't think you do a lot on LinkedIn. I'm going to just unmute you, hopefully.
Your low expectations are well advised, but I use it mainly as a business card so that people can find out about me if I happen to be, say, delivering a lecture at a university in Hong Kong or something, and the students want to know who the hell I am. So I don't have a lot to add, but I'm very interested and learning a lot already.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it appears we've gone through the round. I suspect there'll be quite a few questions. We will probably not get to everyone here in this group. But my instinct is to keep it as a large group for now, just because I'm enjoying seeing everyone's face. And I also think the value of the recording for those afterwards is nice. We get to keep it. So let's go with that now. And I'll give a list of names too. After this call, I'll send a note to everyone, so that whoever could not make the call tonight can follow up with those people on this call tonight if they heard something interesting or want to ask another question. But so let's start. I mean, put your hand up. I think there's a little button for that. Where's that, Peter Frampton? You'll be able to tell us, won't you? How do you put your hand up?
Bottom right of the chat of the managed participants, of the participants. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to hit mine. I'm raising my hand, Pete. Oh,
there you go. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. Amos talked about inbound versus outbound. Amos, what do you mean by inbound?
Hold on. I'll unmute that. Good. Thanks.
Inbound for me is the research and prospecting part. So just a word, it can be the other way around. But I meant proactively looking for inbound as far as information coming to me and not me extending information to others. So looking for prospects defined by a certain criteria on the sales navigator. That's what I meant.
Got it. Which is very powerful, yeah.
Yes.
Cool. And while you're unmuted, Amos, did you have a question for anyone that you heard?
No, I don't think so.
That's okay. Cool. Anyone else? I mean, if you're not up for putting your hand up, just turn your microphone on and ask a question. Yes, Pete, again.
So there's a subtle theme that's running through this that's interesting, I think, that we're all very aware that our reputation's on the line. You know, this is it's a personal networking medium, this, and we loathe to oversell. And it ties back into the comment when we engaged that group, when he was, I referred to pushing out of my comfort zone of like reaching out to people. And I'm asking myself if there's almost an opportunity to master this art of being more assertive than our instincts. Like Rolf, you, like me, said, oh, I'm not going to, the last thing I want to do is, you said it's against your philosophy, and the last thing you want to do is sort of spam people. And yet there's a way to kind of sidle up to people tactfully and say, hey, can we talk? And as long as one's authentic, I think maybe that's part of the answer that we're all grappling with about how to use this incredibly powerful medium. So by proactively initiating conversations, but in a tactful way.
Well, I can tell you how it worked for me. And I've done this, as I said, hundreds of companies. And what I did was I did not connect to people on LinkedIn. I found them on LinkedIn. And then I sent them an email. I identified the person within the company. I managed to find the email address. And there's a tool for that. It used to be connected to LinkedIn, but it's now, they've removed it when Microsoft bought LinkedIn. I can't remember how it's called. Let me just, it's called, no, can't remember. Anyway, it allows you to find an email address of any, sometimes it's difficult to find the address on the website because they're hidden somewhere. But if you use this, it's called hunter.com. So what I do is I find the person I'm looking for on LinkedIn. Then I find the email address, whether it's very easy to find on the website or through Hunter. And then I send an email off LinkedIn, telling them that I found them in LinkedIn. Because my feeling is, and that's how I feel when people contact me on LinkedIn, that they just, something that they send hundreds a day. But when I bother to send an email to them off LinkedIn, it shows, I think, and I get a reasonable level of response. I've never got get off my back response, and no one has ever deleted me from the contacts list or from the LinkedIn if I'm connected to them on LinkedIn. So I don't think people see this as an intrusion. Worst case, they just ignore the email. But I think it is less intrusive than bombarding people in through LinkedIn messages. That's at least my feeling on that.
Amos, can I ask you how you actually frame that introductory email? What do you actually say in it?
Well, first of all, I'm happy to send a copy to everyone in the group. Peter, if you can send, but I think the list is on the email on the.
Yeah, that'd be great. Or you can send it to me, and if you're okay with it, I'll send it to everyone.
Yeah, sure. Basically, it says, I found you on LinkedIn, and it seems that from your comp, and I looked up your company on the web, on the internet, and it looks like there might be synergies. Remember that I'm not looking for customers, I'm looking for licensees, which is a bit different. So I'm potentially offering something that will give them business, rather than trying to sell them something. So that might be another reason why I get better responses than just trying to sell. But basically that's what it says. And then I tell just a little bit about the USPs of our business and offer to meet them through an online meeting. But I'm happy to share the email and send it to Peter, and you can distribute it. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Hey, just quickly gonna step in there. I Stephen Kaziki, who was sort of the initiator partly for this entire conversation, who's been hearing us the whole time but still hasn't been able to talk. We'll try him one more time. But he says he's had great success with those scripts that I sent around that I shared with you guys in the first instance. You probably remember that. Did everyone see that at the bottom of the invitation email that I sent? Anthony, did you see them at the bottom?
No, I'm afraid I didn't see those.
Okay, so you saw the information about the chat. But okay, so at the bottom of the first time I sent out an invitation was a little note about Stephen and thanking him and his scripts that they use to send out to client prospects or to people to link to on LinkedIn. Now, Stephen, you want to give this one more try? Should we give it one more go? You did say...
Peter, am I...
Yay!
Hello to everyone. And unfortunately, I live in the country in Australia, and if the satellite moves, it cuts out my audio. So just in case the satellite moves again, we've had great success with LinkedIn, and we use it as part of our marketing plan. We have a meeting each week, and we will do something on LinkedIn to connect. The document that Peter is speaking about, we would have scripts for people in different roles and different job descriptions, and we use it purely to increase our market awareness. And we go through the second document Peter sent you is a structured process of about six different contacts before we ask for a meeting. So by the end of the sixth, we've got a fairly good sense if the audience is connecting, and at that point we connect. And the second thing that we do on LinkedIn is we will supply a blog or an article every week. That has increased our traffic to our website dramatically over the last 18 months. And we don't do anything on Facebook. We do it 100% on LinkedIn.
Out of what you heard, I think you heard us earlier, did you? And we just couldn't hear you.
Yeah, no, I've listened to the whole program and I have adjusted every computer and device I own, so I'm pleased that I finally got
no
through.
Worries. Did you have a question perhaps at all from what you heard, anyone?
No, only a broader comment about using LinkedIn to sell.
Yeah.
We use LinkedIn to market, and it really is marketing, Gordian Business and myself and Gary, we don't have any affiliates, so we use LinkedIn as a purely B2B marketing tool. And I can remember starting my marketing 30 years ago, and I went to the top of the AMP Tower in Sydney, and I looked around the skyline, and I wrote down every name of every large building that had an owner. And that's how I started my marketing. So for me, LinkedIn is the greatest tool that I find. And it's just really increases our network and increases our exposure.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, look, this might be an incorrect assumption. I don't know. But I'm assuming all of you have built company profiles. Is that accurate? As opposed to using your personal profiles on LinkedIn?
I'll comment first, Peter. Yes, for us, it's been 100% company profile.
Yeah, okay. And do you try and move people across from your personal one to your company one? And how do you do that as connections?
Again, let me kick off. We only have LinkedIn as a company profile. We don't use it as a personal profile.
Has anyone out there had success moving, you know, if you're on there personally first and you've moved to the company one? Because that was a question that came up from one of the other end-to-enders who couldn't make it tonight. It was about how do you, you know, get people to follow you on your company or connect with the company one.
Can I go, Peter?
Yeah, go, Terry.
Yeah, so we have both. We've got a company of, I think it's 12 people now. And so our company publishes a newsletter, which we also publish on LinkedIn. But what I have a marketing person that does writes articles on my behalf, and she publishes those from me. And then obviously links them to the company or refers people to the company profile as well. But we do both as kind of an effort to the content that I share is more of a personal passion. The content that the company shares is more of insights around either our program or awards that we won or something like that.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just looking at the time. Anyone else, if you want to put your... Sean Callahan, you have your hand up there, I see. You have a question.
I was just had a question for everyone about InMails and whether anyone has any luck with using InMails as a way to connect people who are not first connections.
I tried the InMail with very little luck. I think, as I said before, it is perceived as very intrusive from people who are not, you're not connected with. And I even got some unkind responses from people who are you, why do you connect with me? It went as far as LinkedIn has an option, as I mentioned before, one of the advertising options is to send emails to people who are once the criteria that you define for this ad. So it's not showing them an ad, it's sending them an email, with an email, which is a legitimate way of advertising in LinkedIn. Never got a single response. Sorry, I need to silence this. And even there, where probably for someone who's not familiar with it, I got a very unpleasant response of why do you writing for me, and this is what why they came up with the new legislation about spamming, and so I don't think it's a tool that can give you a lot of results, a lot of positive results, and on the other hand can create some negativity.
Mm. Thanks, Amos. I've just got an email in from Ian Chalmers, who says he's got a question. And I will unmute him, hopefully. Is that you, Ian?
Thanks, Pete. I've got a question for Stephen. Stephen, I love the scripts and things you sent through, so thank you very much. Those will definitely be going to our sales team. And I've been very interested to see your shift on LinkedIn to more around a thought leader around AI and the combination between negotiation skills and AI. Have you seen much of a response or a change in response levels by shifting to more of a passive approach rather than, I think, what we've talked about quite a bit on this call, which is kind of more how do you push out and market to clients rather than the other way around?
Ian, the answer to the thought leadership is an absolute yes. And we've been using that for the last 18 months. So we put a lot of effort into content as a key part of our marketing campaign. And when we go, we do LinkedIn every week as part of our if I could use the comment, sales meeting. And we're looking at when we go into LinkedIn, the areas that we do most of our work in banking, finance, pharmaceutical, human and animal, and the top end manufacturing groups like cochlear implants. And we will connect each week. And if they're a first or second, they normally have within their networks people we connect with. We don't connect with thirds, and as a result, I think that's had a big impact on our response rate to date.
Excellent. Thanks, David.
Okay, and so, I mean, we're all thought leaders here, or at least we hope to represent ourselves as. I got a question that relates to this community, I guess. How can we help each other on end-to-end? On LinkedIn, I apologize. And that's an innocent question from someone who really doesn't use LinkedIn and has no idea. Can we go and comment and like and do other things on each other's posts, etc.? And how will that help you? Is anyone
on that? Pete, if I could comment first. Yep. Anyone in the network that I know, and there's a few tonight who I've not met, mm-hmm. I will always like, and depending on the content, I'll make a comment. So one of the ways that we can have the rest of the network exposed to my clients and to a broader group is to like. So it is a great way of being able to allow the network to grow.
Okay, so connecting with each other in the first instance and then following, I guess, what they're up to, trying to read the odd article, liking, and then if you've got something to say, say it, I guess, right? And that way...
Yeah. And if we could do that as an action step out of tonight, that would be a great way of getting everyone within the network, because the fact that Ken and you have got them as part of this group tonight is the only endorsement I need to be able to have them exposed to my clients, because there isn't anyone in the network that does what I do. So there isn't any competitive pressures there or preciousness. So I'm more than happy to do that. And I think that would be a great action step out of tonight.
Okay, cool. And another one, I think it's vaguely related to that, is should we as a community end to end, should we have our own community page or site on LinkedIn? Again, remember, I'm an innocent. I wouldn't even know how to do that in the first instance. But is that something we should be doing, where we're sharing amongst our own community, our own group, a LinkedIn group? Any thoughts from anyone on that?
That sounds like a great idea, Pete. I don't see a downside to that.
I agree.
Okay.
How about the fact that you're about to receive a lot of mails, Pete, from other people?
Yeah, well, we can play around with the settings. I have no idea. This is something to learn quickly, isn't it? But yeah, no, if there are downsides to it, please say, you know, speak up. You know, if people have tried groups, I think, Ian, you've tried groups quite often, have you not?
Yeah, we have. We've tried groups. I think something that Peter said earlier was that when you set up the groups, especially for clients, but also for partners, it takes quite a bit of energy to get the conversation going on those groups.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be looking at what the purpose of the group. I think just setting up the group and then hoping for kind of a, you know, to engage. We haven't had success with that in the past. So that'd be my only comment would be, it's ironic, but the group itself needs marketed too, in order for it to kind of get some kind of benefit.
Okay, which is, you know, not dissimilar from the old forums that you were used to use. You know, they took a lot of effort to get going.
Peter, and if I could just add, I agree with Ian. I think if we as an action step out of tonight connected with each other, and I'm connected with Peter, with Mark and most people on the list, and then started to like and comment, that will do more for the network than setting up a group. I think the value of what we're doing tonight, I would see as more important, whether we did it on a more regular basis than the group. But the liking and commenting is the most powerful way of raising everyone's profile on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Peter, it would be a good idea if everyone sent their LinkedIn name and company page address, because I'm not sure everyone shares all these details. I know I'm connected to many people on this group. I'm not sure to everyone. And obviously there are people who are not here on this conversation. So to get just a list with people's pages and company pages, so we can make sure that we follow everyone.
Okay. And how do you feel about me opening that up to the broader group? So the group that isn't here tonight, I couldn't make it.
Certainly.
Is everyone okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Cool. I mean, speak up if you're not, but that, you know, I think that's most people are happy, at least in this community, that there is a high level of trust, and I think they're pretty good to connect. Okay, I see we've probably got, you know, 5 or 8 minutes left. Has anyone still got a question pressing? Peter F, I still see a hand up there. Oh, actually, Cosmin, you've got a question, I see. Let's go to Cosmin, because Peter, you've had a chance already. I'll try and unmute you, or you can, hold on. Oh, we're blocking each other. Cosmin, okay, go now.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep. I just want to ask, how do you manage your LinkedIn inbox? Because it seems that the inbox provided by LinkedIn is such a pain to manage, as in, how do you know how which messages did you answer? So I have really real challenges in managing LinkedIn inbox. I tried to set up another email specifically for LinkedIn, but the workflow is not very streamlined.
So that's just a question to the group, is it? Or were you asking someone?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, everyone.
Do you refer to alerts you get on LinkedIn messages in the LinkedIn inbox, or to the messages themselves?
To the messages themselves in LinkedIn, because I just turned off all LinkedIn messages that I receive in my primary work email, because I receive way too many messages and adds noise to my main work email. But the key challenge is managing the inbox in LinkedIn and how to be more proficient in doing so.
Does anyone else have that same challenge?
I don't get too many, Cosmin, and I use it. I'm definitely less sort of reactive, like my proper email inbox I pay close attention to, but I don't, you know, there's some, they're marked as unread when I've looked at them, or vice versa, or so on. And so I just keep an eye on, try to sense which ones are important. And I do, there are some contacts that I run my conversations with them through LinkedIn rather than, say, through email. And of course, it gives you history, and you can bring other people into the conversation. So like with my partner, Mark Rebilliard, sometimes I've looped him into a LinkedIn conversation. It becomes a three-way conversation.
I guess it depends on volume, Cosmin. I mean, you guys you have a lot of contacts, don't you? And you're taking a wider spread in terms of the way you reach out. So you're getting more in your inbox than a lot of us too. Yeah.
I don't know if you can change the setting within LinkedIn to put your personal email. One of the functions that I've used is to download all my contacts into an Excel spreadsheet so that I can look through who's there and try to sort them out into different priorities for contacting. And when you ask LinkedIn to give you all the data of the contacts that are on your contacts there, first contacts, they come in with, some of them have got work emails and some have got the Gmail addresses or Hotmail or whatever. So you can see some people are using, so it might be, come back to the point, you might be able to separate it so that you've got a special Gmail address for your LinkedIn contacts and keep that separate from your work one. I don't know if that helps. But moving on from that, I've got a question. And it comes back to the person who was mentioning hunter.com before. I think it was it Amos? To be able to identify people, research new clients and connect with them without going through LinkedIn, but actually finding their email addresses and then contacting them directly. Now, I've managed to download people's email addresses, but some are Gmail, Hotmail, whatever, and they seem to me to be personal, private email addresses. And I feel very reticent about contacting these people on their private emails. And yet, some of them I've got work email addresses, and I have absolutely no problem contacting them because I don't feel that it's an imposition. I wonder if anybody in the network has had this experience of, do I go to personal email addresses with people on a professional level? Amos, when you're saying that Amos, I'm not sure if I got that right, but yeah. When you said you use hunter.com, does that give you their professional email address or their private email address?
It's actually, I don't go to Hunter through LinkedIn. Actually, you can't because they disconnected it. I find the company's website, and then when I'm in the company's website, I click on the Hunter add-in to Chrome, and it searches this this person's, or actually searches all the email addresses that are on the website. So it's never going to be a private email address. And to answer your question, I would never send someone a work-related message to the person out of the email box, ever.
That's pretty much my view on it.
And Stephen, you wanted to say something there, I heard?
Yes, we as a lot of people have said, we have LinkedIn, but we do all of our connection and prospecting through Sales Navigator. And if we identify, say, Tom, who's VP of Sales at X, and the email that Tom has got on his profile in LinkedIn is the one that we use. And we don't discriminate whether it's a work one or Gmail. For whatever reason, he or she have decided to use that email on their profile, and that's one that we connect on. If I had a general search outside of Sales Navigator and a private email came up, I would not connect. But in the LinkedIn profile, I have absolutely no issues, and I've never had anyone send back any negative feedback.
Thanks, Stephen. Just as an aside, a few people that I've run into in India who work in big organizations will often have a Gmail account or something else that they give you as their work email. So it's it can be tricky. You just got to, navigate your way through that. Look, I see that our 1 hour is up, and I suspect some of you have places to go or things to do or beds to go and sleep in, depending on where you are in the world. Thank you for the turnout, this evening for me, this morning for some of you, and midday for others. Fabulous, fabulous turnout. Clearly, it's an interesting topic. Clearly, I think we've really only scratched the surface. But, to echo Stephen's words, even if at a minimum we connect on LinkedIn, with each other, and I will, that's an action for me to follow up on, to get everyone's LinkedIn names and company addresses. And then if we can help each other by connecting, liking, commenting, etc. And I'll explore the group idea. We'll see whether that's a worthy enterprise or not. Okay, cool. All right, well, that's the official end.